We're going to discuss and meditate now, in no particular order, but mostly to build our confidence in the living presence of God as our own individual spirit, and to see that this spirit that we are is the very life force itself. It is self-sustaining. It has no opposite. It is forever. It is now. It is you. Now, all the power that you will ever need comes from your own being. And you must know that being in order for this power to express in your life. So there are two words to remember, or three. And the secret of your life is always contact with God. And any time you do not maintain contact with God, you're going to be divided. So your function then is contact with God. And the word I'd like you to add to that is continuous contact with God. It's very difficult to find an individual on this earth who has continuous contact with God. Because once they have it, they don't stay here very long. It's very difficult to find an individual on this earth who is trying to maintain continuous contact with God, because most of us are not aware that that is what we must do. In your own particular way of life, if you have not been aware that continuous contact with God is the very secret of life itself, you have wandered in and out of that contact, and sometimes been away from it so long that to renew the contact becomes a very arduous task. Now, you have heard that the mind that has stayed on Him is the power. And the mind that is not stayed is strayed. And you're either one or the other, strayed or stayed. And it takes a conscious, continuous effort to stay on the presence of God where you are. Now we're riding down the highway in an automobile. We're on the right side of the road going down, and there are cars coming up the left side of the road. And between us is a line in the road demarking the difference between those who are to go on the right side down and those who are to come on the left side up. And it's a fairly heavy traffic zone, so that if you were to stray over the line, you might be nicked. And so you very carefully stay in your zone. You won't cross that line. You stay in your lane. Now let's learn that just as we stay in our lane in a physical automobile, we must learn to stay in our spiritual lane. And you do that by not letting your mind cross over into the lane of matter. Your lane is spirit, and if you cross out and over into the next lane, you're going to run into matter. And it is your function to maintain your progress in your lane. No one can do it for you. You may borrow somebody's assistance, But it's your activity of consciousness to maintain your divine thought lane. And so if I am to say to you right now, rattlesnake, you simply let the word rattlesnake be spoken, but there's no reaction in you. You let it go by. It doesn't distract you out of your divine thought lane. And no matter what comes into the visible world outside you, you must still maintain this divine thought lane of spirit. If you are not in the divine thought lane of spirit, you are not in contact with God. And coming out of contact with God is crossing into the wrong lane. The Master said, without ceasing, you must pray. You must continue your contact with God. It's your lifeline. Now, this can be done. No matter what you have to do in this physical appearing world, this can be done. And it is your tenacity in doing it which builds your spiritual consciousness. Everything in the world will try to tempt you out of this divine thought lane. Especially your own human ego. Your own human ego has certain desires of its own. And every single one of them is a temptation to come out of the divine thought lane, which is continuous contact with God. You will find the challenge of this later becomes an irresistible thing for you, and you make it a daily task. You might say that every day you go into your divine thought lane until it's the only thought lane you know, until you widen it out to include the whole road. And for you, the only road there is the divine road. And when the thoughts come from the world mind, infiltrating your consciousness, you quickly recognize them as not the divine thought. And you do not budge. You do not accept them. You stay right there and you simply say to these world thoughts, no. That's all you say is, no. I will not let you enter my consciousness. I recognize you instantly as material thought. As you can see, there are probably 23 and a half hours in the day when you're not doing this. And in those 23 and a half hours, the world is telling you what to do. Give us this day our daily bread. Your daily bread is this inpouring of divine thought as you are willing to consciously accept, here is God. This conscious acceptance is the immediate surrender of all else and all that is present is God in your consciousness. The ego cannot intrude. Self-love cannot intrude. wishes or desires cannot intrude. Thy will be done. The complete attitude is that there is no me here, there is you. It is a conscious total yielding. Now you've heard the statement that the meek shall inherit the earth, but there is also an opposite to it right here in the Sermon on the Mount. And I think the opposite that I would call it is, be not forsworn. And I'd like you to remember that in Matthew 5:33. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself. But shall perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Now this forswearing may not have struck you as something that you are doing. And so, in the unawareness of that, you would violate this particular revelation. It is the opposite of being meek, the forswearing. Now, the forswearing, it, in the literal sense, simply meant one thing, but you're listening now with your soul. The forswearing would have been tying yourself down to a particular dogma or doctrine or religion so that you joined such and such a church. And then whatever that church taught, you were forsworn to. You were precommitted. And of course, the precommitting to any doctrine of any nature is the way we separate ourselves from the newness of fresh, hidden manna. How can infinity pour into a mind that is forsworn? It is cut off. It isn't meek unto the Father. So here a person says, oh, I'm meek, I'm humble, I'm willing to learn, but over here, this is my religion. This is what I believe. If you have a single belief, you're forsworn. The very nature of spirit is to flow with incessant newness. That's why the younger person is usually more amenable to spirit. The older person is generally grooved, conditioned, set, forsworn. And then you see those who can be 90 years old and they're as young as a 60-year-old child. They have learned to keep an open track. They have learned that the infinite is always full of new surprises. And the word that comes to me is that word green, growing, not stagnant, but vitally new all the time. And so we who have learned how to find out how we have unconsciously committed ourselves to a stagnancy, to a set way, to a groove. In order to obey this command of the inner spirit, must open ourselves to the divine thought lane in which we say, Father, it's your universe. All that I want out of you is you, nothing else. This is where I stand open, and my daily bread is not material bread anymore. My daily bread consists of the acceptance that you, present as the living spirit of my being, are pouring forth your substance to the level of my need. And this my need begins to dissolve into nothingness. There is no my need anymore. All that's happening is God being, God being, God being. And this human sense of self is dissolved and just seems to go along for that ride. Now, this is the state of openness, which is called not being forsworn. But ready only for that which is the Father's self-expressing. And you can tell when something comes through you that's not the Father's self. 99% of the time in our human sense of life, that's all that comes through us. Now we should be reversing that. There should be more of the Father and less of the human, less of the cosmic mind. We're listening now with a different ear. And we're not looking for any divine handouts. Give us this day our daily bread is the acceptance that the Spirit of God, my own substance, is going to express. I'm not waiting for something else to happen. I'm accepting my substance is the daily bread. And that daily bread includes all the food that is necessary for my soul this day. We're in a new system. Our daily bread is food for the soul. In the system of daily bread we're living, in divine manna, and no longer in a material sense life. And we know that divine manna flowing through the soul expresses divine qualities. We are maintaining our contact. We are not forsworn. And the word daily is very significant. In a sense, it means keep hands off. Don't tell the inner spirit the quantity of anything. Let spirit pour to the level of its own inner selfhood. The mortal sense of you keeps dissolving more and more and more. The word daily implies that there must be a daily practice of this. That each new physical day must be turned over for daily bread within. And the Lord must build that house. The minute your mind starts to enter and try to, in some way, direct the flow, you've come out of your divine lane. You've come into human thought lanes again, and you've cut it off. You don't have to tell the Infinite Spirit if it's the right rib or the left rib or the medulla oblongata or whatever. You simply rest in the Word. And the Spirit is more accurate than a guided missile. How can you make contact with God by reading a book? Contact with God must be in the kingdom of God. They don't print books there. The book is merely to remind you what to do, or to stimulate you into a way of doing it. But you must do it. And so for those of you who have thought you could skip your meditation periods, you might just as well have tried to skip this lifespan. You cannot skip your meditation periods, and furthermore, when you enter those meditation periods, you may not enter them for a human purpose. There is no human purpose for which you enter a meditation. That is not the purpose of meditation. The purpose of meditation is to leave the human self outside. And to be the living spirit. You may have thought you meditated to get yourself feeling better, or to cure something, or to heal something, or to treat something, but that's not why you meditate at all. You meditate to let God flow as your only consciousness. He performeth. And so if you've been making the mistake of entering meditation so that spirit would heal you of a physical problem, please reconsider that at this moment and see that you are shortchanging yourself. The higher way is simply to enter the kingdom of God, where the problem that you thought you had does not exist. And so in your meditation, you are voluntarily entering the kingdom of God, or you're not meditating. You might even be one of the fortunate ones who already are in the kingdom of God, and for you, meditation is just an extension of that awareness. So that when you would come out of meditation, you don't come back into the world, you're still in the kingdom of God. And you will reinforce your knowledge that you're in the kingdom of God in every meditation. We are trying to realize the presence of the kingdom. All through the Sermon on the Mount, the Spirit is giving us instructions about the nature of the kingdom of heaven. No one in heaven is forsworn, committed to a human doctrine. No one in heaven needs daily bread. And so, the statement, give us our daily bread, doesn't mean, God, give me daily bread. It means that when I enter the kingdom of heaven, I have all that I need for every moment of the timeless universe. There's nothing else but the substance which is daily bread. This heavenly bread is the omnipotence, the omniscience, the omnipresence, the fullness of all divine qualities flowing as a unit in one complete cohesive force expressing itself. And this is the daily bread. You are accepting the presence of a life force. Now let's look at some of the other passages And begin thinking now in terms of what we would call a contemplative meditation. Whatever it might have meant to you before, you might now consider that a contemplative meditation is looking at a divine thought with your soul. There is no contemplative meditation about human things. Everything in meditation and contemplative meditation is about that which is divine, for there is where truth is. Now, you must be reborn of the Spirit, and therefore you can be sure that everything in the Sermon on the Mount is doing something to help you be reborn of the Spirit. It is removing the mesmerism of the world mind. Watch how subtly it does. It tells you to turn the other cheek. It tells you to give your cloak. It tells you, if someone asks you to walk a mile, to go twain. And now let's look at the three things it tells you and see what it's really telling you with your soul. Why cheek? Why cloak? Why mile? Were these accidental? Did the Spirit do anything accidentally? Now look at it, your cheek, the physical sense of you. Your cloak is a different physical sense. One was about your body. One is about material things. And the mile, go twain, this is about space, your sense of physical space. The Spirit is upsetting, turning over, overthrowing our belief in physical body by using the cheek as an example of the whole physical body. Turn the other cheek. Get out of that physical body. The belief in it. Give him your cloak. Get out of the material sense of a world. See it as a spiritual universe. Go twain. Don't go 1 mile, go two. There is no distance. There is no space. There's no time to move through. Get rid of the whole concept of time, space, and motion. It's all in cheek, cloak, and twain. But take that in through soul and contemplate it until it's yours. And you see the shorthand of the Spirit. The way soul can, in one word, open you. The five kings of Joshua are no different than the five porches, the five porticos in which all the sick people are, same five senses, the five husbands of the woman at Samaria, the same five senses, and you are being divorced from these five husbands, these five senses. You are being removed from these five porches that shade out the Spirit. You are being told to turn the other cheek. Get out of the material body. Do not be forsworn to the concepts of the material sense. Do not be persuaded that between that material object and that material object, there is a space and a time to travel that space. Do not be forsworn to these world beliefs. And where does that leave you? It keeps reducing the size of you. Until you've got the idea, it wants to reduce the size of you down to zero. So that there's no you to be forsworn, no you to turn another cheek, no you to go twain, no you to give your cloak. It's getting rid of you. It is insisting that you be reborn. It whittles away at you in every conceivable way, always to reduce the human sense of self. Finally, it gets to something that might seem absurd, that you're not to resist evil. You're to turn the other cheek to evil. But in this not being forsworn, it tells you that your response must be yea or nay. Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. You are saying nay, nay to the entire world. Can you do that in your consciousness? Overcome the world in your consciousness? That's what meditations are helping you do. Nay, nay to the world of the senses, the world of the mind. But you're saying yea, yea to something. You're saying yea, yea to the world of the soul, of the spirit. You're getting out of the low road into the high. And only as you get out of the low road, only as you say nay, nay to the world of the mind, are you invited into the high realm of the soul. So your sacred mission there is to build a quality of consciousness, a quality which is above the mind, capable of resting like a babe in a universe which is totally foreign to you as a human being. You come into this new universe just almost like a little face looking up, and you're completely a state of receptivity. You're giving nothing into it. You're just there to receive. You're just a newborn babe looking up. And you're not even asking for anything. You're just there, in a state of total absolute trust. And behind that trust is the sureness that I've come where I belong. My daily bread will be the love pouring of the Father into my conscious soul, the peace of the Father, the harmony of the Father, the capacity for beauty, the joy of divinity, all that the Father hath pouring into my upturned face of a child, knowing that all that can come from my Father is his own glorious self. This is the extreme surrender of meekness. It is filled with absolute, unquestioning trust. There is no human thought there whatsoever. There is no 50-year-old person meditating. There is a babe Let the young ones come unto me, and you're that young one. We are babes in spirit.